All right, welcome to Game Chat for this week, guys, where we are discussing Where the Water Tastes Like Wine by Dim Bulb Studios and Serenity Forge Studios, produced by Good Shepherd. For those listening and have not played Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, it is a storytelling-driven adventure game where you're traveling from one side of the U.S., from one end of the U.S. to the other. So you originally start out, I think it's in, is it in Massachusetts or Maine?
Maine.
I think it's in Maine.
Maine.
So you start out in Maine. Your goal is, you have to collect stories and everything, but your goal is pretty much to get to their side of the United States. But you have to kind of cover everything and backtrack. And so you're kind of just walking everywhere. A traveling person, camping at campfires, collecting stories, what all wayfarers do. Starting out, I think, like, was this game what you expected it to be, like, starting into it? I know I was a bit surprised, but just wanted to see if that was normal.
I thought it was going to be different mm-hmm. from what it was. Like, I basically only seen some screenshots of it on
mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Twitter and stuff, and people saying, like, oh, this game was really fun. Mm-hmm. So I thought I kind of... Mm-hmm. I didn't really expect there to be as much walking.
A lot of walking. This would have been a perfect game to have one of those, like, walking... I know some people have set up, like, for these massive online games where your character doesn't walk unless you're walking on a treadmill. Oh. This would have been perfect for that.
Oh, perfect. My gosh.
You'd be dead by the end of
the game. My legs would have fallen off.
This would have been great. I would have been walking all day Saturday. All day. Just nonstop.
And then stuck in bed for all of Sunday.
Pretty much. What about you, Frank, and Madeline?
True confession time.
True confession, Franco. You speak your mind, buddy. This is what we're here for.
Washington D.C. is where me and the the game met our untimely end.
That's so funny. Okay, that's cool.
You lasted a lot longer than I did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's just my kind of side issue is that, you know, I was trying to give it a chance, two or three campfires, mm-hmm. and after a while, the killer was I went to the options, not the option screen, like the I guess you would call it the inventory screen,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw the number, and then the number killed all my enthusiasm.
Number? What number?
219.
The 19 stories. Oh. Well, you didn't have to collect all 219 stories. That was just, I think, how many there are out there.
Understood. It just, like, deflated the balloon. It's like, oh, my, I got 219 stories to go.
Yeah.
I have two to go.
God bless you, child.
I don't know how many I have to go. Yeah,
I have an even stupider reason to stop playing this game.
Go ahead.
So I was walking around and I'm like, oh, I'm in Maine. So then it's like I go into New Hampshire and I'm like, okay, uh-huh. this looks reasonable. Uh-huh. And then I hit Boston and it's like the uh-huh. shoreline has absolutely, like, just straight. There's like no mm-hmm. like effort put into, like, actually making it geographically correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm like, mm-hmm. do I want to go into Boston at this point? And I'm like, no, not really. I just stopped playing at that point.
Yeah.
I was irked by that as well. In this, particularly in certain areas where, like, where it really makes a lot more sense to, which would be like Mexico and stuff, where it's just like a rectangle
mm-hmm.
or like square. There's like nothing there.
You know, that didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, the place where I guess the map bothered me most was up by the Great Lakes.
If you're looking at the map,
mm-hmm.
your in-game map, it shows the Mississippi or the Missouri, whichever mm-hmm. one, like curve around how it does an approximation of how it does
yeah.
on our. And but in the game, as soon as I got out of the map, the river went into one of the Great Lakes.
Oh, sure.
I was like, the Great Lake. I was like, what did Lewis and Clark suffer for? The headwaters of this river to come out of a Great Lake? Really? Really?
Yeah.
That was literally my thought.
I think there's somewhere in Oklahoma where you can actually cross straight through the river. Like, the river ends up just, like, ending before it should.
Oh.
It's somewhere in, like, the southwest, that, like, southwest, Midwest, that one of the end rivers, like, ends in game before it should the map.
Yeah, like, some rivers just kind of went into mountains. Like, they just kind of just ran straight into a mountain range and didn't mm-hmm. come out the other side or anything. So, yeah, that's funny. That's interesting. Like, I never, ever gave any thought to the correctness of the G. I was just really happy that they had Charleston in West Virginia, that they had uh-huh. Charleston marked. And then in Washington, they had Spokane marked, which is mm-hmm. which is where my friend's from. So I was like, oh my gosh, you're on your town's on in the same. Yeah. So I was just excited to see those, especially Charleston. I was like, oh my God, it's Charleston. Cause I was really expecting West Virginia to be just like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, I was surprised. Of course it is the capital, but mm-hmm. you know, anyways, but, Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that threw you so, you know, that a couple of people at least it threw you completely out of the game. Like, mm-hmm. you were just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
This is it.
And Dallas is like three buildings, and Houston is three buildings, but San Antonio and El Paso are like the full-fledged, like, you Metropolis. Have to click to enter the city.
Yeah.
Which, like, San Antonio, sure, but Austin isn't even on the map.
Yes.
Yeah. Capital. And yeah, El Paso? Really? Like, I get that it's the only thing for about 900 miles in any direction, but.
Yeah.
Even in real life.
Well, were those places smaller then? Because I'm not sure if when this is exactly supposed to be set. It sounds like it's like great. Like, the map itself seems like it's supposed to be set. Great Depression.
Most of the stuff seems to come from Depression era.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if the city, those particular cities, were smaller than like other ones at that period of time.
Houston. I'm gonna say no. I'll look it up here. But Houston definitely didn't grow to the size that it is. Over the course of the last 80 years, it's been pretty for a while. And Dallas.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder why I haven't seen anything about like why they chose the cities they did to make like hubs. And I kind of wish there was more to do in the hubs as well. When you go into the cities, I mean, I found them interesting. I mean, the stories were interesting. I mean, the stories even inside the cities usually weren't as interesting as what you found outside the cities, but I guess they did have a lot to do in a lot of the cities, have a lot to do with that time period, because you had like a lot of rioting, you had a lot of picketing, and a lot of kind of like everyday life stories, just people suffering. But it's nice to have maybe a couple of stories or maybe something else to do other than just that. Find work or panhandle.
Yeah, that was,
I think I tried to panhandle twice and I never had any luck.
I found the finding work stories to be more interesting.
Usually worked better. Yeah, although they reused the finding work stories.
There were a couple.
Mine were reused a lot. I don't know if it was just a random thing, but like I hit the same story I have two different stories about three different times, like in different cities.
It also, I think, depended on the amount of money that you had currently.
Maybe, yeah. Because I know, like, there were four different times that I helped a woman move something. And one time, like, it ended up a little bit worse. But then the other three times, like, it was like, okay, we're here. And I set the stuff down and she gives me my money.
I got beat up by people for my money a couple times, even though, gosh, I had no money.
Yeah. Did anyone try to... let's go into, like, mechanics of the game. So, I mean, obviously, you know, so the shore, you know, the geographic stuff kind of frustrated a couple of you. How did you feel about everything else? Like the walking, the whistling, the menu?
I couldn't figure out the whistling to save my life.
Really? So, wait, did you use a computer? I mean, did you use a keyboard and mouse or a controller?
Controller, and I couldn't. Oh. It seemed like I couldn't move the musical note.
You have to
everywhere I move this.
The buttons.
What buttons? Oh.
Oh, you had a tap triangle, or well, your ABXY or triangle, yeah, square circle X.
Yeah.
To match the thing.
Yeah.
It's Simon Says.
Which they don't really explain. So you're,
yeah, I'm trying to move the stick, yeah.
You're completely fine. Like, I had a horrible, like, I picked up that pretty quickly, and I actually kind of enjoyed that. It was a little game to me, like, because I ended up just I didn't hitchhike or walk or take the train anywhere, mostly because I was afraid of getting beat up, or I didn't have enough money. But I picked up that pretty quickly, the whistling, but it was, I didn't find the menu until about halfway through the game.
Yikes.
I don't know why. Like, I just never hit that playing on the controller, I never hit that triangle button. And as far as I know, unless I completely missed it, it was never really said, hey, press the triangle button to access your menu.
You can hit start, and you can go to options, and you can go to controls.
They don't
directly say, like, yeah, in a tutorial or anything, yeah, but yeah, that's basically the only way that you can actually figure out where the buttons and stuff are.
And to go with the walking, and why partly, okay, so like I had to backtrack a lot because I ended up like kind of walking all the way across the US, and then I realized, oh, the campfire stories continue. And they continue in the area that you found them in. So I pretty much went from Washington, from Seattle, all the way back to the East Coast to finish up some campfire stories there. But one thing that was horrid in doing that is that the traffic for hitchhiking and the trains don't go west to east. They only go east to west.
Oh, my God.
And so I end up walking... whistling the entire time to go a little bit faster. For those of you listening, that's how you go a little bit, you can walk a little bit faster in the game, is by using that whistle function as you're walking. So that was a little frustrating. I kind of wish that they would have had that kind of go both ways, like that you could hitchhike either way.
Really frustrating.
Oh yeah, and what I disliked, I enjoyed the being able to whistle and walk faster, but I disliked that there was no way to turn down the whistling, because I would have preferred to listen more to the music in certain cases than to the whistling, because it just got on my nerves. Because I'm like, I want to listen to the song, but you're whistling like... Mm-hmm. At the loudest pitch known to man.
Yeah, well, like, and I think it was even, it wasn't that the whistling, because it seemed like the whistling matched everything else, but that, or might have been a little bit louder, but they also lowered the music when you were,
they lowered whistling. The music.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that too, because there were a few times I was like, oh, the song's really nice. I kind of want to keep walking and whistle, but I know that the song will stop playing, so like I would just walk for a bit without whistling, just so I could hear the song.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, there's one thing I noticed. It's not marked on the controller, and I don't know if there's a button for it on the keyboard, but you can cycle through the songs in the area that you're located in.
Oh, I had no idea.
I was able to with, like, pushing, like, the right on the D-pad.
I also didn't realize that you could cycle through the stories, that you can put new stories in your menu until, like, 75% of the way through the game.
Oh, it took me a little while to figure out what that meant, because I didn't have enough stories to actually cycle out of certain...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was able to shuffle around stories, but then I was scrolling on the stories on whenever they would pop up. I was playing keyboard and mouse, and then I realized that it still wasn't showing me all of the stories in the list, that if I clicked and dragged, I could get my fullest stories, but just scrolling, weird. It was only showing me like four.
Weird.
Yeah, it was weird. I realized that today.
Oh, wow.
Well,
that's
you tried.
Yeah, that's probably just part of the whole aspect of the game originally being made with controller in mind.
Yeah, I read a developer's blog, and yeah, he was talking about that. Was that like he just always played that way on a gamepad, and it really didn't hit them until release, really, that it was like, or right before release, that they were like, oh, we need, this is going to be sold on the PC, so we should probably make this PC compatible.
Whoops.
You tried.
At least they didn't release it and then realize that.
Yeah, that would have been worse. Whoops. Well.
Patch coming soon.
Patch coming soon. I really like the art style. Of course, we've already talked about the music. It was really nice. I know that they had quite a good team for their art. Just because of the two different, really three different, things kind of going on. And the music, they, pulled in a few artists to record some things live. So I think the music, at least I think so, I think it really fit. And I like how the music changed where you went. In what areas of the U.S. that you were traveling in. I think that was a nice touch.
If you have Spotify, it's on Spotify. You can listen to the soundtrack. When I started listening, or I guess the first day I played this game back a couple months ago, I played the album on repeat probably 3 or 4 days straight.
Yeah.
It's very good.
What did you say, Kevin?
Oh, one thing that I was curious, and Madeline might be able to answer this, because if they, with, like, song names and stuff, was the one song that was in Spanish, was it a Spanish version of the one song that's in, like, all the other states?
Okay. Yes, it is.
I thought it was going to be that, but I wasn't 100% sure.
So the inventory management. I don't even know like what the inventory was even there. I'm guessing it was just a collection, that you could look at, but it really served no purpose as far as I can tell.
It has to do with how many stories you've collected. I currently have 217 stories, so I have most of it. So basically it was there for the people that want to actually collect the stories so that they're able to jump around.
So it's just an item. I mean, just an item collection. There's no, like, you're not asking. There's no, yeah.
It's not
how many stories you have.
It isn't?
No. If you click on the items, or maybe it's not there. You get these items when you talk to a person enough that they trust you. Basically, when you start to see their true form, then you get an item from them.
And
then it will take you to where you originally met them the first time.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Because that's why it said at the bottom, A, to travel.
Okay.
At the inventory.
I think I opened it once and I was like, okay, here's some stuff. And I was like, well, I guess it will use them if I need to use them. But then it never asked for me to use any items. So I was like, oh, okay, well, all right then.
It's not important.
But that's cool. No, that's really cool.
That's what it has to do with.
That's kind of one of the sad things about this game is because it has some neat stuff in it that's just you have to find out by literally pushing all the buttons to find out what they do.
Yeah. So about the campfire experiences, how'd you guys feel about those? Like, did any stories or characters stand out to you with those? Quinn? Pardon?
I liked Quinn. Dupree. Well, Dupree, I liked more so after you meet her awakened form, because I didn't really expect it, even though I kind of should have expected it, because
that's how I felt too.
I'm like, oh wow,
this makes sense now.
Now she was the fox, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who I the felt like lady. Should have stole your money every time you went and talked to her in the fox form, but it didn't.
I was surprised. Although I mean, at first because I think that was the first one that I saw the true form of, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Then the rest of them were kind of tame compared to her. That one really, I mean, it just kind of surprised me. I was like, oh, well, what's happening here? Did this fox?
And Quinn, I did not expect to end up seeing that, because I just was like, oh, I'm talking to this Huckleberry Finn character, and now they're a wolf.
I wish that I had a mouse and I could easily peruse my screenshots here and share them instead of having to do this manually. But I definitely enjoyed the campfire experiences. I'm trying to think which one probably stood out to me the best. I really liked Little Ben, but I think that's mostly because that's kind of my area, like, because coal mines, and I have, you know, like a whole line of grandparents and great grandparents that were coal miners, so that one spoke to me a lot. And then I really liked what was her name? I think she turned into the mountain range as her true form.
The one who went up, the Native American lady?
Yes, I'm trying to remember.
She was very kind. She was very kind. I really enjoyed talking with her.
Dehaya? I don't know how you say that. Dehaya.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jimmy, the preacher, was the first one I saw his true form.
Oh.
And I really loved his story. My dad is a pastor, so... Clergy people in all stories are
close
part.
The other grifter.
Now he was the one that revealed that he wasn't a priest. Like, he was saying that he was a fraud.
Dupree. also not unlike a certain black preacher in a TV show that a lot of people like.
I really liked Jimmy because he felt like that this is something that he had done and been for so long that it was who he was now.
Yeah.
But he still struggled because he was never like officially ordained but he still kept doing it because it's what he knew and because he did want to help people.
Yeah.
So I loved his true form is so perfect. Especially like if you go, it made me think of like Jacob wrestling with an angel. Mm-hmm. And that's why Like, that's why Jacob got renamed Israel in the Bible, because Israel mm-hmm. means wrestles with God. And that, Jimmy, you're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 He was a good one. Yeah, I almost forgot about him. I also like the porter too.
Hmm. Oh yes, the man of many faces.
Yeah. Yeah, because I kind of, you know, because it's, you know, understandable. I liked his story. He's very upbeat during the whole thing, and then, you know, kind of as you continue talking to him, kind of started sounding a little more kind of less upbeat mm-hmm. and a little more realistic, real life, you know, yeah. and talking about, you know, his thoughts and his feelings. And he kind of found that with I can't think of her name, the singer too.
Althea?
Yes.
She and I have like the same exact taste in stories, so she was one of my other favorites. She always wanted to hear the sad and the scary ones.
Yeah, yeah. And it was interesting with the stories, like, or with the different characters, the campfire, bringing that up is the different stories they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. You had some that wanted to hear nothing but like funny ones. And those were usually, I mean, well, except for
that was the Prince. Minor guy. I kind of wanted to hurt her to yeah. like smack him in the face eventually because he kept asking for funny stories. I'm like, I don't have any funny more funny stories to tell you, dang it.
There were a couple that just wanted the funny stories. There was one girl, one woman, I think she was down south. Very happy, very congenial. She was always asking for happy stories or hopeful stories. Oh, Rocio. Yes. And
her voice annoyed me.
And then, I really liked her voice. I think it was very soothing to me. And then there was another one that was a little more tragic, but I can't remember her name. But it was definitely
Bertha, the migrant worker?
Probably.
Or not the migrant worker, the Oki, the Dust Bowl refugee.
Probably, yes. Yes, yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the one. What?
Rocio was a migrant.
Her husband left her with mm-hmm. with the kids.
Oh, yes, the one that became a communist.
Yeah, well, I mean, sort of, but... Yeah, she didn't go too far into that, but she did mention that people were like, oh, you should become a communist.
Yeah, kind of depends on how much you pry her for questions and stuff.
I definitely enjoyed those. Like the progression of those stories. So did you find, so going off of those, off the campfire stories, did you like the stories that you ran into, for those listening, like as you walk, you know, you have to stop at these different campfires to follow these specific stories. But then as you're walking through the game, there's several houses you can stop at in towns or just kind of off to themselves that you can pick up stories, which is kind of what you use to talk to the people at the campfires, for the most part, and end game as well. I really enjoyed those stories that you kind of just found. They were so weird. I loved them. Like, I loved the ones that seemed very normal at first. Like, you know, you're like, oh, it's, you know, this and this. And then it's like, whoa, hold up. What what's going on? Or like, there was one on the West Coast that I ran into and I loved. It was close to San Francisco. I think it was right beside of it. It was a flip on a fisherman. It was a fish.
Yes.
Catching a man.
Oh, and that was great.
And I almost posted on social media. I almost posted, I was like, this is like the only thing ever that has ever made me like consider vegetarianism. I was like, seriously, I was sitting there watching, and I was like, oh, that's horrible. I was like, that's ridiculous. I can't imagine. But I'm like, it's exactly what a fisherman does to a fish. Like, the fish was catching the man, skinning it, gutting it, mm-hmm. frying it up, mm-hmm. offers you a piece, which I was like, oh, no thanks.
I decided to become a cannibal.
What happened? Did you get sick?
It basically was really rich tasting. It almost was like a supernatural experience with food.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured I'd go that way, or I would just end up like losing a half a heart from retching. but yeah. Did any of those stories stand out to you?
Probably my favorite was the one with the baby buffalo that was all tied up barbed wire. And you can leave it or untie it. And of course, untied it. And the buffalo's like, we have to run because the riders are coming and I'm the last born. And if I don't get over the border, get over the wall, then all the buffalo are going to die.
Yeah.
So you're running and you're running with the buffalo and the people are chasing you and they're on horseback and they're bearing down on you. And just before you get to the wall, it's like a big stone cropping wall. Mm-hmm. There's like a big gulch and the buffalo slips and falls down the gulch. And it's like, they're like right at the top of the gulch. They're almost on. It's like, throw me over the wall. You're like, throw the buffalo over the wall.
Yeah.
And you lose a half a heart doing that, then you stand up and you look over the wall and it's like thousands of buffalo just like being alive. And the ability to have a part in preserving a species that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I cried. Like it was very, very emotional for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that one was another one that really stuck out.
Yeah, that one, as it expands, it initially drifts off, and then it goes back to basically, goes back to, like, being a ghost to buffalo who's being chased by, like, other ghosts to preserve its species. And I'm like, oh, yes, that basically describes what happened. I actually ended up dying after that story, though, because I only had half a heart, so I died to save that buffalo.
Oh, worth. Buffalo. Did you have a story that really stuck out to you, Kevin?
I really liked the lounge singer that you end up running into.
Yes.
Because there's a later on story which kind of ties in with the circular narrative thing that Josh had been talking about.
Yeah.
You end up running into his brother, and his brother's like, oh, I can't do the same stuff as he can. So you end up singing for the few people that are like obsessed with him. But like all the other people in the crowd were like initially upset when they saw him come out, because it's his twin brother. And they're like, oh no, not this guy again. And the manager's like, it's not that guy. We fired him. This is his brother.
They've been
sad. Can't do that stuff.
Yeah. 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 That one was the lounge singer. Was that the lounge singer? You went inside the lounge and he kind of mesmerized you, right? If you kept listening to him?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was very Twin Peaks. Like, Secrets in Twin Peaks.
Yes. Yeah, which a lot of them were. Yeah, Kevin.
I found the description of the eating the fish or the human. The flesh is chewy, rich, and oozes flavor. It is the sweetest of savory dishes. The warmth trickles down your throat and stokes your hunger. This is a meal that leaves the diner craving, not sated. Don't rush it, the fish warns. You'll get hiccups.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Everything the fish was saying was like, because he was talking about the smell. He was like, yeah, the smell, you know, you get used to it. I'm like, yeah, like fish. Oh my God. There's so many good ones. So many good ones. Like there was one that was so strange. Like it was the woman holding the kid and the kid's trying to like ask you for money.
Make you pay a toll.
Yes, to pay the toll. And so, like, I like, I said to give him money, but my guy was, like, you know, upset or something, and he just threw it on the ground. And so the kid reached down to pick it up and fell out of his mom's arms and broke like porcelain. He was porcelain.
She was a ventriloquist.
That's what it was. See, I didn't pick up that.
That's the only thing it could be, other than actually being a living doll, which is very possible.
Which is very possible
given the nature of all these stories.
We have a fish that's skinning a man. I mean, you know, that's like walking on two legs, you know? And I was like, because I was listening to that, and I was like, oh no, the boy fell. What? He shattered like porcelain?
Yeah, there's another story that I really liked that I thought was sweet. I'm kind of wondering if it was based off of any tales, but you go up and walk up to a pond, and there's you see some boys standing by a pond, and up in the sky you see a plane going by. And across the pond, you see this girl, and the girl's, like, just watching her dad fly his plane. And you begin to realize that the plane you see in the clouds is actually a reflection of the plane that's flying around in the lake. So you have to, and you can decide to help the girl to try to reach her father's plane as he's going around. And you, like, shove her into the lake. And she grabs onto the tail fin of the plane, and then the plane ends up breaching out of the water, and she rescues her dad from the flying around in the lake, and is screaming thank you to you as she's holding onto the tail fin of the plane.
I am just like beside myself. Like, that's one thing that, like, stupid mechanics aside, and, like, you know, or mechanics that I didn't find out about until halfway through the game, aside, and slow walking aside, the stories, like, how, like, just these different vignettes, and they had, like, a whole, like, team of vignette writers and, and story writers, and, you know, and that was kind of their goal, was to kind of make this kind of, like, this concoction of all of these different, you know, life stories and these different stories. And gosh, I mean, the stories are just so interesting. I mean, and they're just little things in the game that you come across and you're just like, oh, that's like a whole, like, that could be a book. Like, that's, you know, you come across these, like, I just think some of these stories are just so well put together and well constructed for, like, the 3 minutes that they had, you know, screen time with the narrator. So good. So good. And the voice acting I thought was really, speaking of the narrator, like, he was very slow at times. Like, sometimes I was like, okay, like, you know, enter through. But he did have a very nice cadence, you know, to his voice, and very a good quality of richness. That I think it did fit the game well, because it is kind of like, you know, you're sitting around a campfire kind of telling, you know, saying these things. And and I thought that the people at the campfires had really good voice actors too, which I think that they were all, like, pretty good. I mean, you had Sting doing the wolf, which, okay. But
for,
I mean,
all the little bit he's in the game,
I know. But then these other people, I think, were just as amazing, like, with their voice acting. Like, even though, like, you could read what they were saying and skip through it, you know, I would just sit there and just be like, I just want to. I think they just did it really well with a lot of emotion when they didn't really have to. I mean, it's just an indie game, but they did it very well, I think. So going through that, so, like, what did you, I mean, this is kind of skipping towards the end, but what did you think about the ending? Like, so you're traveling around, you know, you traveled through this entire place, you've collected all these stories, and you don't have to get to I mean, I actually never went inside San Francisco because I thought that was the end. But it was the last camp story. It was the last campfire story, I guess. So I guess you have to go through all the campfire stories in order to finish, to get to the wolf. I mean,
the final chapter.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure because I wasn't around San Francisco. Like I finished my last campfire story down south. I think near Texas, maybe New Mexico. And then like after I left the campfire, it showed the symbol that there was another story there. And I was like, okay. So, and that was the wolf there. But like, what did you think about the ending? What did you think about accumulating all these stories, giving them to the wolf, basically for him to end your life?
So I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Oh, nor have I.
Oh. You tell us what you think, Steph.
Yes.
Surprise. Surprise. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in a way, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it has to end in some way. And like, the whole point of the game is to collect stories and to have these conversations and to experience the stories. But I don't know. Like, in a way, I think it kind of diminishes why you're collecting the stories, like why you're talking to these people, just to feed the stories to the wolf at the end of the game, only for him to eat you. I mean, in a way, it kind of fit the other stories that were in the game. Like, it kind of had that same, that same turn. Because I didn't think I was going to die. I thought, I'll tell the stories to the wolf and he'll be okay. You're, whatever. I'll let you go. You'll be fine. But instead he's like, oh, those are good stories. Okay, well, you lived your life. That's it. Hopefully it was a good one. And then it ends with like the wolf basically like eating you. I mean, it kind of, the camera kind of zooms in on the mouth like you're being swallowed. Yeah, I mean, it was a weird ending. I'm not so sure that I'm 100% on board with it.
Yeah. Can I ask you
kind
of your thoughts? So where did you think this was going when you first met the wolf?
I really have no idea. I don't know. Like,
So what do you know about wolves that we meet in stories? And did you think that this was going to be...
usually deceitful. Yes, no, no, they are usually deceitful. Usually not the best character. Usually they don't keep their promises or they don't do what they say they're going to do. So, yes. As I said, like, it fits. But I'm just like... But then on the other flip side of the coin, like, I have no idea how else it would end. Like, would I be happy with it just being like, okay, you're free, and then, like, that's the end of the game? No, I wouldn't be happy with that. I think for me, and Kevin kind of mentioned this in the chat, and he was like, I'm upset that it ended. I wanted it to continue. I was like, yes, I wanted to keep reading stories. I wanted the stories to continue forever. And we just keep, because that's what I enjoyed. And yeah, so.
This is how I felt when I finished the Oregon Trail game for the first time. You get to Oregon and it's a picture and it's like, you made it to Oregon. And I was like, really? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Let's travel to Japan.
There would be something to do when you get there, but no.
What now?
Go back, return to main menu. Okay.
I completely agree. And
I think that they did the wolf that the way they did very specifically, because it's a story about America, it could have gone a couple of ways. If the wolf had been coded as Native American, we probably would have had different expectations, but the wolf is coded as a white man power.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why we're getting the ending that we are.
For sure.
He's the big bad wolf.
He he's
especially
busy.
Yeah, and especially seeing it, like, you know, I mean, if you would have a polite wolf in nice clothing now, like in something set in current times, you probably wouldn't suspect it as much. But I think it kind of goes along with the era too, mm-hmm. of the Great Depression, you know, of the Depression, is that, you know, I mean, that was kind of the bad guys were the people that were doing really, you know, they were doing well for themselves, the people in the nice suits, the people in the nice clothing.
They were taking from others to make exactly. their own money.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Good point. Yeah, so sorry to spoil the ending for you guys, but, you know, I mean...
If we didn't see it coming.
If you didn't see it coming, I guess, you know, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just thought this. I could have just like not ended it either, and the stories could have literally went on forever.
Because
mm-hmm. I have no idea. I'm sure I didn't collect all 211 stories, but
219.
Eight more than what I expected. Eight more. Holy crap! Holy goodness. Yeah. So I mean, and going along with that, I know Madeline, you mentioned. Taking, mentioning the Great Depression and the era that it was kind of taken place in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel? I mean, and Kevin too. Like, do you feel that do you feel that they portrayed that well?
I think it made sense. I got really thrown off by the hippie, but it. Made sense in the end once you got to the end of Rose's story that she's like, I don't really think I'm in the right time period right now.
yeah she was a hippie, like, before hippies were cool. Yeah
she's the ultimate hippie-ster.
original hippie.
Yeah, I think it made sense. It was like a kind of transition of periods of time of when it was, because it's a little bit tricky because, like, people had different amounts of money and stuff, and cars mm-hmm. were still kind of just becoming mm-hmm. a thing. So
yeah.
Some of the stuff you're like, why are they still in wagons? And other people are riding in cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think, yeah. I mean, if you think about, like, that goes with pretty much any time, you know, I mean, like now, I mean, you know, you have losers like me that's still driving around like a 2003 Ford Taurus, you know, and everyone's kind of like, oh, like you're like the car is almost what, 5 years short of being 20 years old, you know? So,
in Paris, Texas, where I graduated from high school, mm-hmm. we were very rural,
Yeah.
We were a city and surrounded by a lot of rural place, and we would have people that would occasionally
mm-hmm.
ride their horse into town to go to Dairy Queen.
You see that a lot in around the Mennonite communities too, or areas that have Mennonite communities in them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did it well. It did it justice. Madeline, what do you think?
So I'm 29. I was not alive in the Depression.
Right, exactly. But from what you've heard, none of us were alive in the Depression.
Sure. But so everything that we have heard about the Depression has come from other people's stories,
mm-hmm.
whether you're watching, you know, documentaries, or you're talking mm-hmm. to your grandparents or your neighbors. Or you're reading about it, I guess, other way you can find it. But this is true to what I have seen, and mm-hmm. I feel like they really captured a lot of, through the mechanics, basically, that you don't have a home base, there is no safe place.
Mm-hmm.
You could get hurt anywhere, out of nowhere, with no way to protect yourself or avoid it.
Yeah.
It really emphasizes that there's a lot of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
and nobody really knows what's going on or what they're going to do. And everybody mm-hmm. is looking for hope, looking for happiness to forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I know that
you are going to keep wondering, or you're going to be eaten by the big bad wolf.
Exactly. I know that you know, as I was saying, like, the story of Little Ben really rang true to me. And I know that from what he was saying, just from stories I've heard growing up, from my mom, who experienced it, and whose dad was a coal miner. You know, she lived in a coal mining camp. But it was pretty truthful. Yeah, so I liked his form. His form at the end was all of the miners kind of like in a big, like there was a whole bunch of like eyes and hats of miners, like in this big dust cloud of like, I'm guessing probably coal dust. And yeah, his story was a little tragic to me, just because, you know, you realize the crazy conditions that they had to go in. But yeah, so it definitely seemed like, I mean, I haven't seen anything about like the kind of research they've done, or if they just went off of stuff that they've seen elsewhere, or, you know, if they talked to anyone. I haven't seen anything about how their research process was. But it seems like that it's pretty good, you know. And I think, and also going to the artist, or to the artists who worked on it,
it feels like a lot of the images were definitely taken from reference photos.
For sure.
I know. I haven't taken the time to actually read through it, because it's a lot, because there's like 20 authors or whatever for all the different things. But I know on, I think, the Tumblr blog for the game, there was write-ups on who the different authors were for the different stories. So like a little blurb about like the different writers for the different parts. So that should probably provide some insight into, I guess, how some of them did it. And then the Jonathan Nordhagen, I think that's it, I don't know how you pronounce his name, but who's Dimble Games of the game, wrote the hippie story of Rose.
I just shared an article on the chat thing. That's the a developer's blog from one of the main developers, right? He also did some writing, funded the project personally, kind of a big head on the game. But just kind of a blog on Medium that he posted after the game was released. It goes into a lot of their process, like what, like he puts it together as like a what works, what doesn't, or what worked, what didn't work sort of listing. They cover like the story art, you know, the stories and stuff. And he also links some other post-mortem of the game from writers and artists and that sort of thing in there as well. But it was very interesting read on that. I don't know. Is there anything that I haven't covered that you guys are keen on talking about?
I totally forgot to talk about the tarot card system of sorting.
Oh, that was annoying.
I found it interesting. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, I was raised to believe that tarot cards were devil worship, so I have no experience with it.
Yeah. They originally were used as card games. Like, they were just like picture cards. And then later on, I don't know exactly when, but later on, they basically, Americans more so, attached the spiritual divination meaning and stuff to them. Mm-hmm. But like the tarot system to me made some sense, but other ways it didn't, because you had funny stories in all the different places, you had exciting stories in all the different places you had. So and like half the time I couldn't figure out like what some of the stories were supposed to be, so I just had to go and take a guess. I'm like, oh well, that failed, or you didn't or what the answer that gave me was kind of vague, so I couldn't really actually even figure out what it from that.
Yeah, I think it was going off because I was taking a look at it because I was like, okay, well, funny stories would be under this, you know, or this, you know, because what they asked for didn't really match up to at the campfires when they would ask for funny stories or sad stories, tragic stories. It didn't match what the tarot cards descriptions were saying.
There weren't a lot of categories that specifically match. Like there was a category for sadness, there's a category for joy, there's a category for love.
Yeah.
But then the rest of it were different types of symbols that weren't like happy, sad, scary, you know, your basic whatever feelings.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you got a lot more variety. Usually, although everything with on the devil card tended to be scary.
Yeah.
Some of them were just
exactly. Yeah, it was the devil card, and then there was the one. It was always down to the bottom left, that was like tragedy, and those were always kind of
like the tower
stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was the story about the ghosts in the Cincinnati Orchestra Hall, was that a devil story?
It was a funny story.
I know it was a funny one,
I think it was
the devil.
I think it was.
It was on the devil.
Which always confused. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, because I found that to be one of the funniest stories. Along with the, and I'm sad that once the story expanded, they got rid of her name. But the story about Louisa Ames' violin.
Yes.
That you buy. I laughed out loud a little bit once I bought that violin.
I don't like, that's another thing, is that the whole system of the I love the idea of the stories expanding as you continue throughout your journey, but sometimes in some cases the stories expanded to something that was completely different than what they actually were. Like, a good example is the orchestra. At first, it was, this and this, like the orchestra that was haunted or something. And then it morphed into the orchestra the
ghost that killed the orchestra.
The ghost that killed the orchestra. And that was still a
funny story. Well, that was essentially implied originally in the original story.
But then it kind of, to me, like reading the description, I was like, okay, that's not a funny story anymore. But yes, it was. It was still a funny story.
Yeah, that happened with some of the other stories. There was one story, I'm trying to remember what it was. I was really, let me see if I can find it. I talked to Madeline about it, and I was really, really pissed off about it. But it ended up being... it like morphed into a story about people taking like bath salts, and then turned into like a cult story. And I'm like, this was like nothing at all. Like it was somewhere in Florida.
Was that? Oh no. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if that was the woman that was out in the street looking for, that got the letter or no.
No, the woman that had the letter, that's the one that turned into the French spy story.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, but I think I know what you're talking about. I just can't.
Was it in a tent city, Kevin, by any chance? The only cult story I've come across is...
Was a tent city that was too clean?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. That one, I never actually got to expand the tents. It was somewhere in Florida.
Interesting. So the achievement... getting towards the end of this, but the achievement of Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. it's unachievable, right?
Oh.
Right. At least global Steam stats at this point say 0%.
Yes.
0%. 0%. I mean, I think I wasn't, maybe it was maybe one of you that brought it up in the text chat or something, mm-hmm. or I read it somewhere where it was, it's more like it's the stories you collect. Like it's the journey in itself that brings you to where the water tastes like wine. Like in my head, like I kind of love that you can't achieve this achievement. Like the achievement itself is like a metaphor, which yep. I find really fascinating, and I kind of really like. Like I think, and that's going into. Like, I think, and in the blog that I shared of one of the creators, like, he kind of goes into that, but I think that the game was very different from really anything, I mean, that I personally have played or have seen. In that, I mean, it's all about collecting these stories, and it's all about, it's all about storytelling in itself. And like I just think, and some of the mechanics, I think, and just the combination of some of the mechanics and the storytelling, and the experience of it, I think makes this game very different in a good way, in my opinion.
I don't know if I would say if it's about storytelling itself, mm-hmm. just because the mechanics aren't. Storytelling
game. True.
Yeah.
Like you don't just like it's not like you can tell a story six different ways and have it have six different meanings, right. but still all right. be the same story.
More about listening to stories.
I feel like
it's the more game about the stories about, themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's essentially about the folk tales and stories of the experiences of America. People that you encounter and friends you make along the way.
Yeah.
Which is part of the description for how to get the achievement.
Yeah.
The unachievable achievement.
Mm-hmm. the metaphorical achievement. Yeah. So, I mean, anything else that you guys want to bring up that we didn't cover?
I liked August's story in the very beginning, and then I got really pissed off at the end because he basically just gave all short answers to like anything that you told him, and it basically just ended up turned into him just being sad because he lost everything, which is
that the one where his lover, the guy that he liked, married their mutual friend.
August is the sailor with all the tattoos.
Yeah, he's the mariner. The mariner that liked to read, that couldn't end up reading anymore because his boat got blasted. Or submarine got blasted.
Blind his eyes.
That was a campfire story?
Yes. Yeah. He has the bird strapped to his chest at the end.
He's got all the tattoos.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I think I was maybe half asleep when I came across him.
Yeah, he's all the way on the west coast.
Yeah.
He was near the end of the story, but
well, unless you had to go back to the east coast. I think I came across him like probably like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And then one thing that was really weird, and I didn't encounter this with anybody else, was I had hopped between Washington and somewhere in the Midwest. And he actually, like, campfire attacked me on the train. And wow. I'm like, what the, like, we're on a train car. Let me see if I can phone.
You sent me a picture of it. Did it tell you like which chapter that was?
Or it was
did it count as a chapter?
It was still I think it was
like what
chapter two is usually the one before they do the transition.
I think his story had four chapters.
Okay.
Because he was over towards the West Coast. The West Coast ones had like four or five chapters. Like you would have to, he was the one. I came across him right before I went to bed Saturday night, which was like 3 a.m. And I was getting so frustrated because like I had to keep chasing him down. Like he went, because I had to go to 5 different campfires to finish his story. Or you do. I don't know. Maybe it was my choices. But like, because I was telling him, because I think right before I talked to him, I had just switched stories. And so some of them I didn't know like what they were for the most part. So I was telling him like nothing that he wanted to hear. And I was like, am I doing this to myself? Is this like, is it always like, you know, but then I realized the other West Coasters stories were like 4 chapters long as well. So I remember him now. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he hijacked me in the train. I'm like, heck is going on? I tried to see if I could replicate that with any of the other people who
were
like standing right. Yeah, like he, you know, like it just,
it was a full campfire session.
It just kind of acted. But I don't think it like, I think it like grew his story, but I don't think it counted as an actual campfire session because he still was at the campfire place where he was.
Like, yeah,
I don't know if it glitched weirdly or that's an actual feature where you can run into people on the trains.
Well, no, I think it is because, I mean, like, you ride the train and it has the, you're, like, sitting there.
It shows you the picture.
Yeah, it shows you that picture. Like, and I only did it a couple of times because I got, like, almost died one time from getting beat up.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end, I wasn't getting beat up at all. I kept trying to actually ride the train to see if I would get beat up, but I just didn't get beat up at all. I just
people were intimidated by you. That's why they were like, "There's that guy that keeps riding the train. Don't mess with him." They were trying to kill him and did not succeed. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I'm sad that I didn't try it more now because I kind of forgot about that. I kind of forgot about the. It seemed like it was a possibility that you could talk to someone on the train, but it just didn't happen the 2 times I did it. Yeah. So
I think it was probably a really low occurrence of that actually happening.
It's like either do that or get beat up, you know, and you know, unless you're Kevin and you just like build up an intolerance to being beat up and it just you know, people just look at you and they're like, well, not today.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to cover before we do our scoring?
Do we have to score it?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, this is one of those games where I discussed this with Madeline, where it's a thing where it almost feels like you have to give it 2 separate ratings because, like, the mechanics are so much different from the actual story aspect of it that.
Well, I tell you what, if you guys want to get 2 separate ratings, we can do 2 separate ratings. That's fine.
Because,
well, as well as this being our first, well, kind of a little over a month long game, it will also be the first game that we do 2 separate scorings for. So I will grant your wish. Just as a note, a new, like, they're expanding some of the stories this month, apparently. Yes. I don't know if they brought it out yet. I don't know if there's an exact release date, but I just saw on the blog he said May. So
there'll be more out there to get.
Yeah, there'll be more stories, so more than just 219.
Yeah.
I would what, Kevin?
Oh yeah. I think when I was playing it, I think they had already added stories compared to what the like achievement guide said.
Yeah,
because like the achievement guide said we were like around like story 200 was when you got like the circus stuff, circus carnival stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was getting it like at the layer 2 tens or whatever. So I think they already had added a few stories and stuff.
Nice. Yeah, so you got that coming, and I would suggest, like, if you want to read more about that blog, that I posted. It's very interesting. He just explains like some of the things that went wrong, which I found the most interesting personally. But you know, apparently they also didn't like play test the game towards the end either. Like they just kind of released it. But yeah, for what it was, I think it did well. But anyways, I digress. Okay. So I mean, I guess the so Madeline, you're the first one. If you want to give two scores, you can give two scores.
Can I just rate it on story and not on mechanics?
You can just rate on story, sure.
That would probably be how I'd have to do this. Because well, actually Steph, you're gonna hate me. And if you wanna enforce your rules, that's
three
totally
scores.
Fine. No. I was just gonna, now that Kevin has asked for two, I was going to say, at first I hated the walking because it takes forever and you can try and hitchhike. And I think that worked once for me.
Yeah.
But even still, like you can't get out whenever you want to, you have to wait till you get to city. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm 17 hours in, the walking I actually like as a time to give me reflection and digestion on whatever story or whatever thing is that I've just done. And I'm not, when I'm not trying to desperately finish for a time limit.
Right.
I have time to reflect and consider. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
In a game where you're not constantly having to be on it. Like do this. Now you're done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree.
I'm going to be your curve buster and give it a 9.8.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right, Kevin?
Like, story-wise, given some of the weaker stories or... Like even though there are some weaker stories and developments of stories that are like, what? Where? Like, no, don't do that. That's worse than the first story. I guess, I also got, a little bit confused by some of the stories, particularly the two different, the healer and the migrant worker, where they mixed in Spanish with English. It was more so with the healer that I ended up getting confused a lot more. The migrant worker, Rocio, ended up having a lot more basically repeating of the word in English afterwards. But I would have to give the overall story and aspect and stuff a 9. Mechanics wise, I'd have to give it a 6. I did enjoy the walking in certain cases, but I got really annoyed by the whistling, turning down the music, and not being able to lower the sound of the whistling just itself. And then I also got annoyed by the trains and cars only going one direction. And I also just was really annoyed by some of the mountains sometimes, because you just had to walk completely around thing. Or and the river crossing, because you had to cross at the river crossing even though there was a bridge right next to the river crossing.
Sometimes, yeah. There was one area around Oklahoma that I just about murdered myself 2 or 3 times because
get across. You have to go in two states away to get across.
Yep.
I hated that.
That's it.
Yeah, that was one of the worst things. So yeah, the overall mechanics had to be
So you said 6 for mechanics, 9 for storytelling?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, gosh, I just really you guys, I'm kind of echoing what you guys have said. You know, the mechanics were rough at times. I mean, I didn't mind the walking really that much, especially with the whistling, and I kind of found doing the whistling stuff kind of intriguing and fun, to see like how long I could go without messing up. I kind of made a little game out of it, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing was probably what you would probably end up doing if you were walking by yourself across country and only had yourself for fun, just kind of make up games as you go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I didn't mind the walking as much. It was mostly just the lack of explanation, like for the menu items or for the menu, since I didn't know where that was, or even for like switching out stories, I didn't understand that too much. And there might have been like ways to find that out if I would have just looked, or if, you know, but I think in this kind of time period of games, like, gamers expect it to be a little more laid out for them and not mm-hmm. to have to search for things. Like, we're just not used to it. And so we get frustrated whenever it's not, you know, hey, do this, press this to get to the menu, press this to do this. So yeah, but the storytelling, as I've already gushed about, I was all over. That's basically what kept me going, was the different stories. I think that's all the Baby Buffalo. random. It's basically what the game's about, and it worked well. It worked well, and it really drew me in. The artwork, I'm a huge art person when it comes to games, and I like that to be kind of interesting or pretty looking or nice looking, and this was definitely that. And even, you know, the artwork in itself, and then even just walk, you know, I think the way that they did the map, even, I mean, it's kind of clunky and it's kind of, you know, last generation kind of, but I think it worked. I mean, you know, because that really wasn't the focus where you were walking. It was what you were reading and listening to. The voice narration was great. Yeah. So all that, into consideration, I would give the storytelling, I mean, probably a 9.5. And then mechanics, I'm not that rough on the mechanics. I would give the mechanics, but I guess probably a 7.5 for mechanics. Yeah, we'll go with 7 mechanics. That's fine. Okay. Yeah, so wonderful. But thank you guys for playing, and kudos to the two that tried to play but just couldn't continue on.
Thanks for playing, guys.
Thanks for trying for five minutes. You tried.
It's 30 minutes.
But it's not 30 minutes. So sorry, Stanton. I'm sure it
felt like 3 hours.
As you know, and Josh, you know, who's in our chat sometimes, like, he had some issues as well with everything. And, you know, I mean, I think it's just what you look for. It's going to sit okay with some people. It's going to it's going to be frustrating for others, for different reasons. I was glad to go on the journey. So for our next one, we're going to try and do it just a month instead of almost 2 months. But we're doing The Longest Journey, which is a point-and-click adventure game that came out a few years ago. yes. And, you know, hopefully eventually to get to the point to where we'll get to some of the newer ones. Probably won't do the newer ones, like, in succession with this one. I don't know, but we'll see. I'll post the date sometime, but so in June, probably like mid-June, we'll take a Tuesday and discuss The Longest Journey. And then next week on Game Chat, we're talking about Trackless, which I'll get those keys out to everyone this evening. One of the developers from 12 East Games, right, Kevin? 12 East Games? Yeah. It gifted us like 10 keys, Steam keys. So I'm going to be sending you a private message with those individually that participate in the chat. as well as for those listening, if you're listening before we discuss this next Tuesday, if you go on Facebook, or actually before Friday at noon, it's the cutoff time. So this Friday at noon, on Facebook, if you like or share the status that has that information in it, the most current one, you'll be kind of put into a random drawing to get a Steam key for Trackless. Just kind of a adventure game, set in, would you say futuristic, Kevin?
Yeah, it's set 10,000 years in the future.
Well, there we go. That's really futuristic. Yeah, I played some of it. I enjoyed it. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to talking about it. And I said I'll get the Steam keys passed out this evening. And then after that, that will be a 1 week or just going through the store. I know I was talking to Kevin about whether to split it up or to only have it 1 week, but I think just story-wise and just like, it's kind of hard to find that kind of middle place because it is, I think, 2.5 hours long, maybe close to three. If you try to be a completionist, I think 2.5 is probably good. You know, so it's a 1 week game. But after that, since we did the first season of The Walking Dead, I want to do the second season of the Telltale Walking Dead series. Yay. So that's what we'll be discussing after Trackless. So keep out for like any, I know it was on sale last week. I don't know if it's on sale somewhere this week. Yeah. So with that, I'll wrap up. Thank you guys again for playing, Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. It was lovely. And I'll chat with you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye. Bye.